Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Why don't we just give him the ovation he needs? Lift your hands all across this building. If he's been good to you, if he's been kind to you, if he's shown his goodness and mercy, I don't know about you, but I wonder what would happen in the next just few minutes if somebody would just make the devil real mad. See, because the devil's banking on you quitting and giving up and throwing in the towel, but one praise would prove to him that you're not giving up, you're not throwing in the... Where's my young people tonight? The enemy's saying he's waiting for you and going to pull you in. Your praise tells him you're not going. I like just making him mad. Because when you're in covenant with him, with God, there ain't nothing the enemy can do. Everybody walk around all afraid of the devil. The devil been on my back. Devil can't do nothing except what God lets him do. And as long as I stay right with him, then God will take care of everything else. If you got your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 6. 1 Samuel chapter 6. Verse 10. I do want to say what a tremendous treat or honor it is to be here, Brother and Sister Needland's stead, and then all the kind words. Many of you have come up, and some of the elders knew my grandfather and telling me stories, and again, the kind words of the people. I appreciate your kindness and hospitality in treating us here. And it goes without saying, it's a reflection of your shepherd. He loves people, and it shows you love people too. And I want to tell you thank you. 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 10. And the men did so and took two milch kine and tied them up to the cart, shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart and the coffers with the mice of gold and the images of their emrods. And the kine took the straightway to the way of Bethlehemesh. And went along the highway, lowing as they went, turning not aside to the right hand, to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Bethlehemesh. Verse 13 is where I want to launch from. And they of Bethlehemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And they lifted their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. The cart came to the field of Joshua and Bethlehemesh, the Bethlehemite, and stood there, where there was a great stone. And they clave the wood of the cart and offered a kine, a burnt offering unto the Lord. The Bible says in 13, they were reaping their wheat. It was harvest time, but in the valley. I want to preach to you for the next few minutes. The miracle is in the valley. The miracle is in the valley. If you would, lift your hands one more time and just thank him for his word. Father, I thank you for your people, the opportunity to minister your word. Let it go forth with a clarity and understanding and a power that would liberate, transform. Help us tonight in the Holy Ghost. I ask you in Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You may be seated. The children of Israel's history is rich with examples, types, and shadows of where you and I can glean powerful truths for today. This text and the historical context is the children of Israel is in a very precarious situation. To understand even this text, you've got to go several chapters back in the church where Eli was there and his sons Hophni and Phinehas. And the Bible said that Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, the two sons, had created sin or done sin there in the house of God. But Eli, the Bible said his eyes began to wax dim. And it said the candlestick of the Lord had began to go dim. What they were trying to say, I believe, in Scripture, trying to paint a picture for you and I to understand was that everything wasn't where it needed to be. Things were out of order. The Eli, the man of God, the preacher, He had begun to lose his vision and the purpose. You see, that candlestick was meant to be maintained. It was meant to keep going and the flame there. And the whole tabernacle, it needed to be maintained and taken care of. But it shows that they had allowed it to become common. They had allowed the temple and the tabernacle and the glory of God that got them out of Egypt. They had allowed it to become common. I don't ever want us to ever lose sight of what the glory is all about. It's not for a circus. It's not for fanfare. It's not centered around a man. It's centered around the presence of God. Don't ever lose sight that God wants to visit you and I with His glory in this end time hour. And out of that glory will come a flaming fire that will deliver people and set them free. That's what it's for. But it had become common. It had become just maintenance mentality. Kind of like you and I when, I'll take all you off the block. Let me put me on the block. I come to church, I preach my little message, and I go home. Maintenance. I just do enough just to get by and preach just a message just to get a paycheck and I go home. I don't ever want to preach for a paycheck. I don't ever want to preach for an applause. I want to preach for the applause of heaven and the glory of God to fall, because without His glory, we're just another building with a group of people together. We've got to have His glory. Without His glory, it's nothing more than just a building with carpet and pews and great sound systems and great singing. Eli forgot what the purpose was about. It was your job, Eli, to make sure that that candle stayed lit and that there was always a hope in the heart of Israel that God's presence could be found. If we ever lose sight of what this is all about, what are we going to tell the world? Come to my church because I got fancy media. Come to my church because I got fancy lights. Come to my church because I got the best sound system in town. Or come to my church and let me show you the glory of God. Come to my church and let me show you where people that once had cancer is now healed. Come to my church and let me show you about an alcoholic that the 12 steps couldn't get him out. But when God filled him with the Holy Ghost and baptized him in Jesus' name, His glory manifested itself. If I'm not careful, just like, so I said, I put my head on the block. If I'm not careful, it becomes a career. We become career Christians. We become career Pentecostals. We become career preachers and career saints and career Bible study teachers. And it's all about a number. God ain't looking about a number. He's looking for a heart that will say, God, I woke up this morning, and if it had not been for you giving me breath, I couldn't even walk today. It's all about Him. From the beginning of the day to the closing of the day, and why I sleep. And Eli forgot what it was all about. It'd be like you and your group, people singing. I don't ever want to forget. As much as God's given that talent, much as God's given me the ability, it's not my ability, it's His. And when I get in the valley and I get facing impossibilities, see, He was reminding Israel, I got you out of an impossible situation. Egypt said you weren't getting out of here. Pharaoh said you're not getting out of here. But God opened up a Red Sea. I'm telling you, we're in the end time, and God's ready to do proverbial Red Sea openings. Where the doctor says there ain't no help, God steps in His glory. Where the physician said, I can't fix them, God steps in and gives them a brand new heart or a brand new lung. Or a brand new mind. God's about to heal somebody's mind in this building. You've been an emotional wreck, and your emotions are from one end or the other, and Prozac ain't helping, and Zoloft ain't helping. God's ready to do a miracle and bring you out. I look across this building at impossible situations. Doctor said it ain't gonna change. But I know a God that has glory, that when he lets that glory shine on you, that diabetes has got to go. That heart disease has got to go. And because it became common, Eli let the candlestick go out. And the Bible says the Philistines showed up. Philistines is flesh. Because when we lose sight of what the glory's all about, flesh quickly moves in, ready to fill in the void of where God's glory once was. And the day that we start having church in the flesh, the day that we start having and living for God in the flesh, it ain't about duty. It's not about what I gotta do. It's about what I get to do. I was on a barroom stool and God brought me out. I was hooked on alcohol. I was hooked on nicotine. I was hooked on drugs. I was hooked on perversion, but God brought me out. You can't ever lose the message of God brought me out. And if he brought me out, he brought me out to bring me in. Bring me into what? For I see in that eastern sky it parting, and the coming of the Lord is nigh at hand. And you and I better make sure we're ready. And it's not common. I said it the other day, I'll say it again. The Bible said there was two in the field. There was two in the bed. One gonna go, one ain't gonna go. One husband gonna go, one wife ain't gonna go. Half of this church will go and half won't go. What group are we gonna be in? Half of the preachers are gonna go, half of the preachers ain't gonna go. And let you know, I ain't pricking on just you. I'm telling all of us, we got to be ready. And right now, we're in a valley in the end time. And the end time's impending and pressing on us now, saying you ain't never going to have revival. You ain't never going to see your backslidden son. You ain't never going to see your backslidden daughter. I'm here to tell you, if the glory's there, your son and daughter's coming. And hell can't stop it. Man can't stop it. Looking at impossibilities. Because it became common, the Philistines moved in. Flesh began to fill the void of where God's glory was. I'm going to let that just sink in. For those that have an ear, let them hear. Where the glory once was, flesh is ready to take over. You know what flesh is? I'll do it my way. Don't tell me what to do. I'll live however I want. I'll act however I want. I'll do whatever I want. Don't you tell me what to do. That's flesh. And as the Philistines begin to come against him, the children of Israel, watch what they did. And the battle's impending. It's right there on them. Fear's in the heart of the Israelites. And the first thing they did was they said, go get the Ark of the Covenant. Watch. For it will save us. Not God, not his glory, it. It had become a box. That's all it was. It was a box where God once was, but I couldn't find him. It was just an entity. Let me bring it down to our vernacular. Oh, if I get in trouble and I get into a problem, I'll call the preacher. I'll call the prayer warrior of the church. I'll call this one, and it or they will save me. Somewhere in me and you're living for God, you and I have got to come to a place of spiritual maturity that I look at the situation that may be impossible, and I say, God, it's for me. It doesn't matter what they do to me, for God is with me, and God will bring me out at whatever the cost. It. Let me bring it down maybe even a little bit closer. Well, I've been a Christian all my life. It will save me. The institution, Christianity, denominationalism, my denomination will save me. When they never knew the God of the box, they just knew it as a box. And I just know church as a church. It's a building. I come to it. I hear great singing. I hear great preaching. I hear great testifying.
I get to visit with people that I love and I feel like a family. But if I'm not careful, it becomes just an it. Instead of the God of glory that wants to station himself above this building, and out of that glorious fire, it radiates from people all throughout the building, that it's not just Christianity, it's not just a denomination, it's not just a church that I come to or my stationery on a marquee with a nice light. It's God's glory is in that place. And when I'm in a valley and I don't know what to do, I can come back to where the glory is. I'm not coming to my church, I'm coming to where the glory is. I'm not coming to where a prayer warrior is. I'm coming to where the glory is, because only the glory can bring me out. It will save me. Never had relationship with God, but the institution, the box, the emblem, the box, it'll save me. The relic, high elder, the relic, it'll save me. Let me get to a cross. I know people, thank God, good people. But that relic ain't gonna save you. The God that made everything will save you. And they go to battle, and because everything had been common to Eli, it filtered to the people. And now they go to battle. It shows the deplorable distant, the ending of Israel per se. They lost sight of what it was all about. And the battle gets to raging, and the Philistines take the ark. Watch what the Philistines said. They said, "We will take the ark of God." Even the Philistines knew the value of what that thing represented when the people forgot what it was. And if you and I won't get a hold of God's glory, there's somebody out there that will get a hold of God's glory. You can be a pseudo-Christian, you can be an average Christian, and still maybe make it to heaven if you've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I don't want to be just normal. I want to take everything that God's afforded me. I've got friends I want to see filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've got good friends I want to see baptized in Jesus' name. And I'm not going to sit idly by. I'm going to find out where the glory is and get them there. And they took the box, the Philistines. And when they took the box, the Bible said, they opened the lid. And they took out of that box the pot of manna. They took out of that box the rod. But they left one thing, the law. Because here's what flesh says in the end time. Somebody needs to hear me in the Holy Ghost today. Flesh in the end time will say, "Give me the manna, prosperity. Give me the rod of Aaron, the miraculous. But don't give me the law and the word of God, because I will not adhere or obey that word." Somebody better hear me in the Holy Ghost, because you're facing an impending end time tide that's about to sweep some of you clean out of the building. And it's telling you, come on, reach for miracles. Reach for the prosperity plan. Name it and claim it. Blab it and grab it. And God's going to give you a Bentley by the end of the day. Just don't tell me what the word of God says, because I'm not going to adhere to that. And the flesh says, leave the word in the box, because I ain't submitting to it. We're facing an end time hour that no one outside. See, you and I have got a benefit and a luxury and a blessing. You're in a church where you hear the word of God day in and day out. Every weekday, Wednesday, Mondays, and you hear it all the time. But you got a world out there that's coming against you in the flesh, trying to tell you, you don't need all that. Just get miracles and get prosperity, because that shows the favor of God. Let me ask you, if you were a good devil, wouldn't it be a good thing to give you millions? If you call yourself a Christian and the devil would let you have millions, it would deceive many to believe what God's blessings are. Just because there's money doesn't mean God's blessed it. You can have $1 million and call yourself a Christian and still be lost as a goose in a hailstorm. But here's what I'm after. I'm after when I get in the valley, I'm going to adhere to whatever the Word of God says. If God says do it, God, I ain't going to argue. I ain't going to try to ration around it. I say, give it unto me. Be it unto me according to your Word. Because I'm in an impossible situation and I need a miracle. And outside of that, without God, it ain't never going to. I'm preaching to families right now. You need a miracle. And God's saying, I'm giving you a miracle in the valley you're in.
And they took the ark and they put it in Dagon. Now, this is what's so awesome about God. God will always have a people. And the ark goes into Dagon, the temple of the Philistines. I don't ever read nowhere in that scripture where God is biting off his nails or losing any hair on his head, elder. That ain't the case for me and you. We dropping hair like flies. And Rogaine ain't working. Let me tell some of y'all right now. That's a lie. Just let it fall to the ground, Jack. God ain't nervous. The ark's in the enemy's camp. You'd think God would call out an all-air strike assault. I gotta get it back. God ain't worried. Not one iota. If you could ever see, that's why I love that Magruder song. What Sister Carol Magruder sang, from heaven's point of view. If you could ever get a glimpse of what God sees looking down, you see a storm raging, but he sees you getting to the other side and you getting the miracle because you've been faithful. You've held on when everybody else said give up. Your family said walk away. Your family said get out of here. But you held on and you stayed faithful. I'm telling you, there's a miracle in harvest. God ain't nervous. The ark's in the enemy's camp. God ain't depressed. Watch what God does. And I wish some of you could just get this little simple concept. The ark's in Dagon's temple. And there's Dagon standing as a statue. And when they put the ark by Dagon, whoo, Dagon falls flat on his face. And if you could, here's what he's trying to say. God's saying, it doesn't matter what everybody else does. If you get my glory, whatever's opposing you, I'll make it fall down and worship me. I'm telling somebody, your son is backslidden. Your daughter is backslidden. And they're bound by drugs. But if you get God's glory, that spirit will fall prostrate before the glory of God. And it cannot hold it. We've got a revival coming that's going to shake the doors of every apostolic assembly. Oh, I just like normal church. Don't do all that hollering, preacher. You make me scared when your veins pop out like that. I had one call me, you a hothead. No, here's what it is. Something got a hold of me on the inside. I'm not preaching for entertainment. I'm not preaching for applause. There's something burning in my spirit, and I just can't contain it. I just want to shout. If you gave me a bullhorn, I'd stand at the top of your building, and I'd shout it. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's a fire that's in me burning. So I make no apologies because I see in the eyes of many the hurt, the disappointments, the letdowns by man. And we want to blame God when really you just need to understand God's setting you up for the greatest miracle you've ever seen. And you're maybe in the darkest, deepest valley. But remember, they were in the valley at harvest time when the glory showed up. And Dagon falls on his face. Oh, it gets better. They stood him up. And the next time, his hands broke off and its head. You know what it tells me, Mom?
It tells me this. If I can get God's glory close enough to me and my enemy, that if my enemy's knocking on my door in my home, if I can get God's glory in my home, that hand of the enemy that's trying to take one of my kids out of my house, or that hand of the enemy that's trying to put itself in depression, oppression, darkness in our minds, if I can get God's glory, God will break the hand of the enemy. That's God. Some of you should be shouting by now. Some of you got some sons and daughters. I'm going to get back on it again. They're bound in pornography. They're bound in perversion. They're bound in alcohol. They're hooked up with people you know they shouldn't be with. But if you get God's glory, God will break the hand of the enemy and set them free. I'm telling y'all, this is good preaching. I'm going to buy my own tape. Remind myself that when the enemy comes in and I don't know what to do, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to worship him. And I'm in the valley and it's dark. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why could David say that? Because David knew when that ark came back home, when the glory came back home, David was in a valley. Samuel had just died and the glory came back. David said, in the midst of death, I'm not fearing no evil, because as long as I got God's glory, nothing can happen. As long as I got God's glory, his presence manifested, nothing can happen. And the breaking of the head. Now this one, I really like. Speaks of dominion. Now this is where we don't want to maybe admit it. But there's dominions, principalities within our churches, within our communities, within our cities, within our homes. Dominion is a stronghold that somewhere through carnality, the enemy has come in and established a governmental municipality in the spirit. But when you get God's glory there and that thing falls, he said the head of Dagon was cut off. It can't, it has, that dominion is broken. You show me a church that's hungry for God, prayer and fasting with a fervency and a zeal, I'll show you a church that exercises dominion over the things of the devil, where alcohol, where addictions and perversion, all these things have bound people. I'll show you his glory. And finally the Philistine said, we don't know what's going on with this. We got something we can't handle. Here's what's about to happen for our churches. You got some people operating in miracles and signs and they don't believe this truth. But here's what's about to happen. It's going to dawn on them. We can't handle this, and I'm going to have to bring it to somebody that can. And they're going to come back to people of the name. Because the name is where the covenant is. It wasn't about the covenant. It was about the God of the covenant. But it's people that have been baptized in Jesus' name. You're in a covenant now. And in this end time hour, we're going to have people coming from all over. And they're going to have miracles and signs. And they're going to see them in other denominations and other places. But they're not going to know what to do with it. And they're going to come looking for the people of the name. And they're going to say, tell me about Pentecost. Tell me about living separate from the world. Tell me about being baptized in Jesus' name. Tell me about it. Because they don't know how to handle it. They're going to say, I want to know everything there is about the word of God that's in that box, because we can't handle the supernatural glory. Musicians, come. I'm done. So the box is in Dagon's house, and the Philistines' flesh don't know what to do with it. Because you cannot operate, somebody hear me, you cannot operate in the supernatural and have flesh not disciplined. Because you start operating in that anointing, you start operating in those gifts and they begin moving and you got unbridled flesh, you'll self-destruct. But if flesh is in its place, the glory of God is. See, the children of Israel couldn't see this. They're over there pining away at what they lost. We're looking at everything we've lost when really God's got a setup for us that we've never seen before. A miracle that God wants to do for us that has never been done before. I believe in this end time. See, we all talk about God raises the dead, but nobody wants to play dead. True. I believe God raised from the dead. Good, you're my first candidate. God takes your breath. Poof. See, we don't want to step out because we're afraid. When God in this end time is ready to do miracles that we've never seen before. I was in Los Angeles, California, as I just preaching. See, this is what's supposed to happen in service. While I was preaching, a man with a withered right arm, like this, that man stood up in that congregation, unsolicited, stood up. One hand goes up, and I'm watching him at the corner of my eye. And before long, that other hand did this. See, hold on. That's my story. You ever seen that? He wants to show it to you. That's when his glory settles. What happened last Sunday night? His glory settled. I got the phone call over an hour later. Somebody prayed, backslider prayed through last Sunday night. The glory settled. Right now, the glory's here. Not because I'm here, but because God's sovereignty has said the timing is right. Philistines didn't know what to do with it. So here's what they did. This story amazes me. This is almost a Bible Sunday school story. But really let the magnitude of it sink into your brain. The Philistines take that box, that ark. And they put that ark, they put it on a cart with some cows. And they take the baby calves. I ain't no farmer, I don't know about no cows and horses. They took some babies of that cow and they put them off. And the Philistines said, we're going to put that ark on that cart and we're going to send them mama cows home. And as that mama cow lows, it hears them babies lowing. And if it's meant to be for us to keep it, you know, them that mama cow's going to do what's natural and go back to them babies. And here's the part that just kind of blew my mind. Small explosion, but it blew my mind. The cow did what was not natural. It kept going. Here's the revelation in it. You're looking at things that seemingly will never change. Because it's the natural course of life. And I'm here to tell you when it's harvest time, God will do the impossibilities that you've never seen. That mama cow should have turned what was put in her by God. God made that old cow that way. So you think God, who made your son and daughter, can't reach down into them and make them on that bar stool in conviction in a bar room, make them go back to what they know is right? See, here's the picture in the whole deal. That ark was destined to be in Jerusalem. And here's the picture we can't see. It wasn't so much of an unnatural feeling of the cow. As much as it was, stand right there. You're the cow. This is what they can't see. God said, his word, my spirit, my name is going to be in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, that prophetic word is pulling that cow. You ain't gonna do. See, some of your sons and daughters have a prophetic word. God promised you when you dedicated them as a child. God promised some of you prophecies in this building and prophecies that are gonna happen. See, that prophecy is just like the one in you. It ain't never gonna die. It's pulling right now. It's pulling for your son. You ain't got to do nothing except get God's glory. And when it does, that thing's coming home.
Thank you.
Stand with me. And the Bible said, the prophetic word, I'm going to say it again because maybe your son, your daughter, they're not their own. The word of God is pulling them back, and you can't even see it. And there one day, you're going to get a phone call. Mama, my world's crashing again. You'd think I'd have learned by now, Mom. But I'm ready to come home. Daddy, you didn't raise me this way. I know better than this. But you see, it wasn't what you did. It was God's word pulling them. You're coming home one way or the other. And ain't nothing. The impossibilities are at harvest time. De Quincey, I declare unto you today, you're in harvest time. You're in harvest time. You got people in the balcony on Sunday morning that ain't part of this assembly. It's harvest time. God's calling them and you can't even see it. Just stay in the process. God does his greatest work when you're in the valley. And they of Bethlehemesh were weeping, reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And they lifted up their eyes. And when they saw it, they rejoiced. Here's the question I ask you in the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm done. Can you rejoice and see it with the eye of faith? I'm waiting. Can you see it with the eye of faith? Some of you, it's already moving on you right now. Can you see it? Then there should be a response. It's time to rejoice, De Quincey. I want you to step out of that pew tonight with a rejoicing. Listen, rejoice means rejoice. You lost your joy, but it's time to get it back. Rejoice. God's given it back to you because you lost it in the battle. You lost it in the crisis. You lost it in the divorce. Let God give you your joy back.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC De Quincey, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in De Quincey. TPC, loving God and loving people.